292, which is the Early Education Finance and Policy Bill. So glad to be here. Dave Pinto from the House, and I'm joined by Chair Mary Kunish from the Senate. And my apologies to the Senate, but the House wanted to have a little more review and discussion of the conference report that was sent over. And so here we are, and glad to be doing that. We do not at this point have a quorum, but what we can do is discuss some things, and then when we do have a quorum, we'll be able to take some action. So members, we reviewed the spreadsheet and a conference committee report on Friday, and so those are materials that are in front of us. And we kind of walk through each of those things. There are not questions at the time, but of course there may be questions that have arisen since then, which is just fine as well. And so maybe we'll first, my thinking is that we will start with any questions about either of those documents as reviewed, and then consideration of any amendments, and then proceed from there. So are there questions about the now draft conference committee report that's in front of us, or the spreadsheet at all that members have? And not hearing any. So then I think we're ready to consider amendments. And I think what we're going to do is, if it's okay, if there are amendments that members have, we can consider them. And then, as I say, we'll be taking formal action on all these things once we have a quorum. So I think, Representative Daniels, I think you brought a couple of proposed amendments, and we can start distributing. We have the page. If we can have a page, pick up those materials and start distributing in whatever way that Representative Daniels and staff wish. And Representative Daniels, I'll call on you to describe. You can kind of tell us which amendment you want to start with, if you have several, and proceed from there, sir. Well, actually, pardon me, I should just ask, Senator Chair Kunish, did you have anything you want to say in the manner of introduction? And I'm sorry, Representative Daniels, I feel like I should have done that for my co-chair.
Nope, nothing to say other than good morning and thank you all for joining us here this morning.
And so, Representative Daniels, we are having placed in front of us the A13 amendment, but I'll call on you to decide kind of how you want to present things.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for the opportunity to be coming back to conference committee and actually get input from all members before we do the conference committee report. A13 is pretty simple. This amendment strikes lines 18 and 19 from the proposed conference committee report to remove the early learning scholarships received from the new Great Start Scholarship Program experiment. The current learning scholarship program is proven and works, and it would not be rolled into the new experiment from a new commissioner in its new department. So let the Great Start Scholarship program prove it can work before messing with the early learning scholarship. In other words, we have a proven product that works, and before we spread it to a different department with a different commissioner, let's make sure it works before we do that.
My apologies, that was page 3, lines 18 to 19.
Oh, I'm sorry. Page 3, line 18 to 19. I'm sorry.
Anything further, Representative Daniels, on this one, or? On the A13 amendment?
That is the amendment, yeah.
Okay. Maybe I'll comment on that unless Chair Kunish or Representative Perez-Vega wish to. This section of the conference committee report sets us on a path to stop having such a fragmented early care and learning system. I think it's been apparent to all of us, I hope, especially in the last couple of weeks, how fragmented it is. The provision that your A13 amendment would take out, those lines 318, 319, taking out early learning scholarships, sort of defeats the purpose of pulling these items together, pulling these different programs together. And I should say that it was developed, this section and that provision was developed in close collaboration with advocates for early learning scholarships, people who spent many years working for them, believe very strongly in their value, and believe that this should be included in them. And so I myself would urge members to oppose the amendment. They'll see if others have comments, and I'll maybe just confirm on the A13 amendment. So Chair Kunesh.
Representative Daniels, I guess I'm not quite sure why we would want to remove this, because as it says, one of the preferences would be families with at least one child receiving an early learning scholarship under the sections. And I think just as Representative Pinto said, the continuity within the family of services. So when one student starts with the program, and then the next one would follow them, it would be almost like sending them all to different schools, you know, because there wasn't space in there or for whatever reason. And I think this part is especially important for families, because if they already have one child receiving or in that early Great Start program, the next one would follow in the footsteps of the first one. And the parents are familiar with the program, they're familiar with the resources, they're familiar with the teachers. And so it would make perfect sense that the next child coming along would be able to just very easily move into that pattern of early learning. And so I would like to keep this in there as a very important part of it, and would ask that this amendment not be adopted.
Anything else from other members? Oh, Senator, Representative Daniels, I guess to close things out then, or to, you know, sir.
And you know where our passion is. It's early learning scholarships, and these are flexible family families can decide where they want to send a child. That's why we want to stay with that type of system. And I know this other one is probably similar, but we've been doing the early learning scholarship, I think, for quite a few years, and it's a proven product. So that's what I'd like to see that changed. Just it's a proven product, and the families have the control over where they want to bring their kids.
Okay, so looks like nothing further. We do now have a quorum, and so my thinking is that we would have a motion to adopt the conference committee report, and then this becomes a motion on this amendment that we can vote on this amendment, if that seems okay to Chair Kunesh. And so I might ask Chair Kunesh then to move adoption of the conference committee report, if you can do that.
So moved.
Okay, thank you. And then Representative Daniels, one moment.
Should we move the report so we can take up the amendments? Is that what we need to do?
So that's the idea then, is that she moved the report. The report is now in front of us, and now you're proposing amendments to the report.
Okay.
And so I believe Representative Daniels moves the A13 amendment. Is that correct, Representative Daniels?
Pardon?
You move the A13 amendment, sir?
Yes. Yes,
okay.
Chair, please, yes.
So we've discussed it. All in favor of approval of the A13 amendment, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay, the motion fails. And then I know it sounds like there's one or two more amendments. Yep, the pages could keep an eye. Mr. Withers has, Representative Daniels has a couple more amendments. And Representative Daniels, sir, to your amendment. As I think it's being distributed, folks will see what it is, but you can feel free to begin if you'd like, sir.
Thank you, Chair. This is another pretty simple amendment. Deletes Section 5, which is a new state mandate for licensed pre-K preschooler teachers. This mandate is unnecessary. Most preschooler teachers already have licensed, and local school districts can require licensure and as a condition of employment. There's no reason to mandate from the state what can be mandated locally, and to ensure preschooler teachers are already licensed in most cases. And that is the amendment.
Okay, and I'll just remind members that we had received a presentation on this at our second to last meeting, I guess, on this proposal from Representative Hill. I would urge a no vote. I feel like we got some really good information about it. And just remind members that Clause B, lines 7.10 to 7.12, were developed in collaboration with community education and others to make sure that this would not be too broadly applicable and would be narrowly tailored. So would urge a no vote. Any other discussion to the amendment? So hearing none, Representative Daniels, a final word from you before a vote.
I just appreciate, again, the chance to come back to committee and redo it in daylight, in public. So I appreciate the opportunity to present the amendments. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Representative Daniels. Yeah, and I really did appreciate the presentation we had on this very section before. All in favor of approval of the Representative Daniels has the motion for the A14 amendment. All in favor of approval of that amendment, please say aye. Any opposed?
No.
Okay, the motion fails. And then next amendment, if there is one. Representative Daniels, when you're ready, Representative Daniels, if you have, looks like you have another amendment. And looks like maybe Representative Daniels moves the A15 amendment, I believe.
Yes, Chair.
Representative Daniels.
Amendment. This amendment deletes new language prioritizing early learning scholarships to ages birth to three. The current proposal gives MDE authority to exclude four-year-olds from the early learning scholarship program. This will have a negative effect on our children, our child care providers, while expanding VPK proposed in the K-12 conference committee will serve four-year-olds in the school-based programs. And we know how devastated the family child care centers have been. They've been losing them right and left. So that's what this amendment is trying to help.
Thank you. And I'll maybe note regarding this, line 17. Yeah, recognize that that clause, line 16.17, does not go into effect until January 1 of 2025. It doesn't go into effect for another, I guess that's a year and a half from now, a little more than that. I would oppose the motion and support this clause being in operation because we are not fully funding early care and learning. We unfortunately are deeply underfunding it, and so we want to make sure we're directing the funds where there's the greatest brain development, which we know is the youngest kids. As Chair Kunesh referenced earlier, we want to make sure once a family has an early learning scholarship, the child gets to keep it. So to be clear, a child who is four, many children who are four will have scholarships. It's just they will have started receiving them when they were younger. And in the meantime, as you noted, we are fortunately, wonderfully, under Chair Kunesh's leadership, increasing the number of pre-kindergarten slots in our schools as well. So we're kind of trying to cover kids from every direction. I would urge a no vote. And any other discussion to this amendment? This motion, pardon me. And seeing none, Sir, Representative Daniels, final word from you on your amendment, sir.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Pinto. Could you repeat the date that will start?
Representative Daniels, it is a little confusing. So if you look on page 17, line 17.5, the priorities and everything regarding the early learning scholarships takes effect July 1 of 24 in this section, except the line that you would be taking out, paragraph B, clause 1, is effective January 1 of 25. And these dates, I'd had interaction with the Department of Education and advocates and just looking at how these dates might work. We want to make sure to allow a transition sufficient to be able to focus on these younger kids, and that's the reason for that later date. But it is January 1 of 25. Representative Daniels.
Well, that would certainly give us time to adopt this amendment and work the next 2 years to work some of those issues out. So I would support the A15 amendment for that reason.
I think, and in the alternative, that would live time that if if concerns arise or make a case for it, and we've got some time to make changes next session if necessary. But in the meantime, we've had a real emphasis in the House and in the Senate as well on making sure that we're getting the very youngest kids off to a great start. And so I'd urge a no vote, as I say. So so Representative Daniels has made the motion to adopt the A15 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay, the motion fails. And any other amendment, Representative Daniels?
Yes, Chair. We have A16.
Okay. The A16. And that's being distributed.
Yeah.
Representative Daniels, do you want to start describing the A16, and then we'll take a look at it as put in front of us?
Yes, Chair Pinto. Sorry, I just wanted to make sure we had a copy. This amendment restores the current language requiring the commissioner to set target scholarship amounts based on the child care market rate survey. The current law, when followed properly, assures the scholarship value is aligned to the costs of the provider child care. The new language allows MTE to create a tiered scholarship system based on factors such as provider circumstances and geographic regions. This will lead to lower scholarship amounts for family child care providers, which MD considers lower quality than school-based programs or large chain-based child care centers. So there again, I'm just getting back to our local family-owned child care centers have been decimated this last few years. So just trying to help them at this point.
And Representative Daniels, these lines 17.21 to 22, I think it's important to note that the current scholarship amounts are actually well under the cost of providing early care and learning to kids. It's not fully covering the cost at all. This is intended to say that we really should be starting to cover the full cost. We want to take into account the rest of the points in that paragraph of what's the cost in a given community and given circumstances, the family's income, et cetera. I guess it seems to me that by cutting this, by saying we should keep it flat and going against this, we're saying that we're not going to be covering the cost anywhere because of concerns about the variability of costs in different places. That's really not the direction we should be going, in my view, and so I would urge a no vote. And see if other members have comments, or perhaps Representative Daniels has a... Oh, yeah, Chair Kunesh, please.
Representative Daniels, I'm really curious that you've made a couple of comments about the effect that this will have on, and I'm thinking, are you talking about like family daycare, in-home daycare situations? And I think what I've been hearing, and I have now two very young new granddaughters, the availability of those family daycares is pretty scarce. And especially in greater Minnesota, where there are no or there are very few family daycares or non-corporate daycares. And so in essence, I think this would actually help those families that are really struggling to find daycare. We've really been, you know, for the last 6 years that I've been here at the legislature, we hear about the lack of daycare opportunities across the state. And this is definitely one of those ways that we can ensure that there are opportunities and options for those families. So I think this is important.
Representative Daniels.
Well, that kind of gets back to my point. The over 700 family daycare providers have left the market because of the regulations, because of the hassles. Back when my children were young, 40 years ago, my wife had to quit her job as a para at the kindergarten center in Bemidji. And it was more, she made or paid more money for three children in daycare than she made working at the kindergarten center. But it worked out. She stayed home for about 3 years while she raised our young children until they were in kindergarten. And the word got around, and neighbors brought maybe two or three kids from one family and maybe two kids from another family. And we actually made more money with her staying at home, not having to drive the car 60 miles round trip to go back and forth to work. And, you know, we got through it. But that was before all the regulations started to come in place. And now you can't do that anymore. So that's just, I'm old. So I look back what we went through back then, and everything worked out. I mean, we took care of each other. Families took care of families. You know, neighbors took care of neighbors. And we're kind of squeezing that out with some of the regulations we put on the family child care providers.
Okay, that was the last word on that, on your motion then, I guess. See if anybody has anything else. So Representative Daniels has made a motion to adopt the A16 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. Okay, the motion fails. Any other amendment, Representative Daniels? You've got another one?
Yes, I'd like to present the A18 amendment.
Okay. Representative Daniels moves the A18 amendment.
I'll give Barry a minute to get the amendment to their...
You can start describing it as the pages are distributing it. Whenever you're ready, Representative Daniels, please.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. Well, this one's kind of near and dear to my heart. I think everybody knows by now I have my oldest son is deaf. That's why we moved from Bemidji to Faribault to attend the deaf school. So this amendment would help out the deaf metro school. They receive $200,000 in one-time funding, and there's nothing in the tails for them. So this amendment reduces the appropriations for learning with music and reach out and read by $50,000 each for both 24 and 25, puts that $100,000 per year into increase the Metro Desk appropriation to $200,000 per year or per beginning at 2024, gives the Metro Desk school a $200,000 base appropriation. So we would fully fund Metro Desk request, which I believe was around $200,000 per year. This amendment will do beginning the FY 2024. Nonprofits like Reach Out and Read should not have a blank check, while deaf children have to beg for more funding each biennium. Each biennium, the nonprofits should prove their worth to receive the continued funding. So there again, I really think it's important to take care of our deaf community. That's part of my life, and my probably two-thirds of my bills that I've presented are related to deaf and blind culture. So appreciate you taking consideration the A18.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. One thing I'm going to ask while we make a couple comments is to ask Ms. Beckel, I guess, if she can, or Ms. Hofer on the Senate side, just to make sure the amendment balances, because I know it's taking one-time money and base money out and then putting in base money, and just sort of if we can make sure if you all can, hopefully my question makes sense. And it probably does. I can't quite do the math. I'm on the fly. Hopefully you kind of see what I'm, and you can just let me know when you're ready if you feel comfortable to comment on that. Well, Ms. Beckel.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I've worked with Ms. Vaughn.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Ms. Beckel. I'll just note that and I know your passion for issues regarding those in the deaf and hard of hearing community, Representative Daniels, and very much appreciate your passion. I should say that the provision regarding MetroDef was developed in consultation with the MetroDef school. The amount that's in the bill was specifically what was asked for. I have not heard anything from them since then of asking for a different amount. So I would not be comfortable putting that in. There's been nothing further about that. So it seems like we need to do that. I'm not sure if the provision regarding Reach Out and Read is from Representative Katizo Toon. She's not here, not on the conference committee. But Representative Perez Vega has had the learning with music. I'm not sure if there's anything that she wishes to say. Representative Perez Vega.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. As a educator that has been throughout the state and over the country, in particular with early childhood, and recognizing how important it is to have music, not just for children who have the ability to hear, but also the children who don't have the ability to hear, deaf students. I recall working with a group of deaf kids volunteering in a mission work in Puerto Rico after the hurricane. And these folks were so impressed by the fact that studies have proven, you can look, whether you're studying at USC, UCLA, Harvard, that medical practitioners have actually used reference to learning with music for children who are deaf to have therapeutic responses and using percussion and connection and feeling a lot more accessible to how they can react in motions of trauma. So I think that this is a program that's going to not just help all of our, not just kids who can hear, but also children who have disabilities. So this is very important to mention that these are opportunities for all children to expand with learning with music. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Perez-Vegan. So Representative Daniels, final word on your A18 amendment, sir.
The way I understand this amendment to work, both learning with music and reach out and read would still get $200,000 per year in FY24 and 25. So it's not really, you know, taking away from that program. And just so you know, I have a bill that was never heard called Rock and Read with Ann Kay that has been very proven to get kids reading much quicker and more proficient. So I'm certainly not against the idea of the music program to help them read, but I just, the deaf culture, sometimes they have a hard time communicating. And my son is one of those, and you said you reached out to him. I'm happy you did, but I don't know if they knew they could get permanent funding. I don't know the background on it. I just don't know. But I've never seen a like our Minnesota State Academies or any other schools with special needs not want more funding. I mean, it's just they have a need, and I think that would be really good to show a good sign of faith to say we can do both. You know, we can do both.
Just another question for fiscal staff. This, I believe, would allow Metro Deaf to do, school to do Part C. Would that have a cost to the special education cross subsidy? Would that cause a lack of balance? Just wanted to, Ms. Hofer, perhaps.
Mr. Chair and members, thank you for the question. This would provide an appropriation ongoing for those early childhood services. However, in order for those services to qualify for special education aid, there would need to be additional policy language incorporated into Section 125A in order to allow that to happen, because under current statute, charter schools are not authorized to provide those early childhood special education services.
Okay, so it sounds like some, and also, and I guess from my perspective, that's another reason to reject the amendment. Anything further, Representative Daniels?
Thank you, Chair Pinto. I just would like consideration. I think it's a good amendment. It doesn't destroy the other programs, and yet it helps the Metro Deaf School. And I tell you, there's a lot of need there in the deaf community to get services. I mean, that just never ends. This would be one way to get them started out on the right foot. Just give you a quick background. We live in Bemidji, and my son went to the public school with a full-time interpreter and a part-time aide. His grades were a D, D minus all the time. I can remember my wife at the kitchen table at night pounding her fist on the table, and yet know my wife, she's not that kind of a person, and basically telling my son, you have to get this, you have to get this. In the football team on the junior high, he was the bench warmer and the token player to play the last 30 seconds of the game. When he went to the start of deaf school in eighth grade, when he graduated, he had an A-minus average. He was voted the best defensive player in the country. And those schools know how to get these kids from not functioning, give them the tools that they need, make them very successful. He's now one of the top people at Foldcraft in Kenyon. He started there 19 years ago. He's the only deaf person in the company. He's rose through the ranks. Now there's five deaf men at Fold Grafton Canyon, and they just need the right tools. They need to have the culture. They'd be able to communicate, and that's what we learned from our mistakes is not sending our son earlier to the deaf school. And the Metro Deaf School is very similar. It just doesn't have the campus to have, you know, stay overnight and for the week. So I'd really appreciate a upvote on the 18. I think that would really help these kids and have them permanent funding so they can plan their budgets. I just really appreciate an upvote on that.
Thank you so much, Representative, and thanks for your passion for that community and for those kids and young kids especially experiencing this. I was very glad we were able to, this is sort of right at the last minute, I think, during the committee process in the House. I was glad Chair Kunesh was willing to accept it. We're glad we were able to figure this out. For the reasons discussed earlier, I would urge opposing it, but very happy to continue working with you on this issue. So Representative Daniels has moved the A18 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? No. And so the motion fails. And then Representative Daniels, here comes another amendment. One more. That's okay. Yep. One more.
One more formal amendment, and then we might have a suggestion.
So. Okay. Yeah. Representative Daniels. And please feel free to begin whenever. So Representative Daniels moves the A-17 amendment. Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. The A-17 amendment is very similar to the A-18. This amendment would fully fund the Metro Deaf. Hmm. Metro Deaf Charter School receives $200,000 in one-time funding, while Reach Out and Read receives $250,000 per year in the base. This means we're subsidizing doctors to buy books and is fully funding, while deaf children have to come back to legislature and ask for more money in 2 years. If we would fund the Metro Deaf request, which would I believe was $200,000 per year, which this amendment would do beginning in 2026. Nonprofits should not have a blank check. Each biennium they should come to prove their net worth or their worth, excuse me, to receive continued funding. So. That's my amendment, and I'm so passionate about the deaf community that I would really like to see some way to continue funding so they have something they can budget for and not have to come back to the legislature every 2 years. So that is my motion.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. And just I'll remind members that the section being cut, that would be cut, is the executive function we had a presentation on in an earlier meeting of this committee. And I guess since you brought up Metro Deaf, again, just to make sure we're clear, originally the House bill did not, the House bill did not have this provision. The Metro Deaf School had come and was trying to work out and said there was a particular issue they were trying to address regarding services for young kids. And there's a lot of complexity around it. I'm trying to remember the exact details at this point regarding the metro area school districts, Department of Education. And we're trying to figure out a lot of details regarding it. And it was Metro Deaf that said, you know, if we could have this $100,000 in each of these next 2 years while we kind of are figuring out a longer-term plan, it is, in fact, the case that young kids are receiving services, those with this primary disability receiving them. But this is something that was intended to sort of help Metro Deaf in the short term, and they have not asked. There was nothing further that was requested, and to have Reach Out and Read be one time only when we know it's had this long time impact. I guess I would urge a rejection of the amendment. But Representative Daniels,
could we have Mr. Chair? Could we have research look into that? What's in the tails?
Representative Daniels, what's in the tails on?
You had mentioned executive function.
No, I was talking about. I thought you were cutting the tails on Reach Out and Read, but maybe I'm wrong in this amendment. Ms. Mock.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. It cuts the tails of Reach Out and Read.
Representative Daniels.
Thank you for the clarification. I just got the paperwork this morning, so I'm new on it.
No problem.
Not a lot of time here.
Yeah. So, Representative Daniels, anything further on your motion, sir?
No, again, I would just say, you know, deaf culture has been struggling. I mean, I've got five more bills I'm trying to get heard in committee for the deaf culture. And I got one heard. Closed caption is going through. That was a five-year struggle to get that going. And we still got, I think, five more bills that we're trying to work on. So you know my passion. There's so many deaf children that have been just passed up, and they give you an idea. My son was, I believe he was in his early 20s. He was just graduated from Wilmer Technical College for a welding certificate, and he had three other friends reach out to him who went to the deaf school, and encouraged him to just start collecting Social Security because you're disabled. Well, I'll tell you what, they're not disabled. They're just able in a different way. Mm-hmm. And my son and my campaign manager, Sonny Wozlowski, is deaf. They were classmates. And Sonny's got his own business. I mean, he's very successful. And so anyway, that's where that background comes from, is setting these guys up for success and not having to say, okay, I give up. I'm just going to draw my Social Security for the rest of my life and not be a productive citizen and not... contribute anything back. So that's where this is coming from.
Thank you for your passion, Representative Daniels. So Representative Daniels has moved the A17 amendment. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, please say no.
No.
No. And the motion fails. And Representative Daniels, I think you said that was the last amendment you have to propose on paper, but it sounds like you had something else. So Representative Daniels.
I have one last oral amendment.
Amendment, okay. We'll see how that works. That can get a little confusing, but why don't you give it a try, Representative Daniels.
Thank you, Chair Pinto. Thank you for lenience on this. Between what happened on the 3rd and what happened,
No problem.
We were going to do these amendments on the Friday.
Lay it on us. Lay it on us. So, what do you got?
Okay, my oral amendment is on page 23, delete subsection 14. I'm sorry, subdivision. My eyes aren't working yet either. Delete subdivision 14, the grants to nonprofit youth prize for children's savings account startup grants. With the adoption of free college at the higher education, in the higher education budget, my view these grants are no longer needed. The appropriation allows the nonprofit organization youth prize to keep up to 20% of the appropriation with no limits on how their organization can use this money. So my feeling is this money be much better used and not, because the savings account, it was a $50 account. And after 20 years, it's still going to be $50. So I just would like to not have that go in. If we're going to pay for free college for up to $80,000 a year, maybe we don't need this.
And Representative Daniels, and of course we're going to repeat the motion very carefully, but you delete that subdivision 14 children's savings accounts, and the funding, that $500,000, would go into what?
Just back to the general
fund. Back to the general fund, okay.
Yeah.
Does that work to our fiscal staff? Well, we would be $500,000 under target, I guess, in this bill. Is that Ms. Beckel? Okay. So I'm going to read the motion, first of all, we're all very clear, is to delete lines 23.21 to 23.32. Well, I guess that's it. And then we'll be $500,000 below target. First of all, is that your motion, Representative Daniels?
It is. And it wouldn't necessarily have to go back to the general fund. We could use that for anything else that's already been appropriated. I know, but a little joke is I know your side likes to spend. I know our side is a little more conservative. So if you wanted, that's $500,000 you could spend in another category.
I do think for the, I'll say this, just a reminder to folks that members of the committee, members of the public, that this is the third provision that we had a presentation on in a prior committee. So I was really glad to have an airing of these various provisions previously here. Representative Daniels, we'll have your motion as you made it to delete those lines. I'll see if anybody has any other comments. I guess, Ben, I should probably also just say, you'll note it says children's savings accounts can be used for a number of purposes, and the research is so powerful about them, as we heard in committee. So, Representative Daniels, final word then on your motion, and then we'll repeat it again before we vote on it, of course. Representative Daniels?
Well, and then thank you for the consideration, and thank you for the willingness to work with us. This is the way legislation should be done, in an open setting and with input and a chance to do amendments, even though we're pretty sure we wouldn't get, I thought maybe I'd maybe get one of the Deaf Metro school amendments passed, because that's a good cause and they don't have permanent funding. So, but I just appreciate the openness, and you'll be able to take the vote up or down, and thank you for the allowing us to do that.
Thank you, Representative Daniels. So Representative Daniels is moving to delete lines 23.21 to 23.32 from the conference committee report. Are there any questions about the amendments? It's not written down. Not hearing any. So all in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
And all opposed? No. The motion fails. And are there any other amendments from any member, proposed amendments? Not seeing any. Okay. And then we had a number of comments on the conference report from Friday and the spreadsheet. Is there anything further anybody wishes to say at this time to members? No? Okay. I guess not. And I will just, again, really thank everyone for the work, not just, I mean, over these couple of weeks, but over the many months. The other day, I'd said this before, but I was looking over the spreadsheet, as I guess I was sitting next to Senator Kunesh, and just getting pretty emotional thinking about the incredible impact this will have on young kids and then on our whole state. So thank you so much, members. So with that, we will, maybe we should do a roll call to adopt the conference committee report then. So Chair Kunesh renews her motion to adopt the conference committee report on HF 2292 as in front of us. And so I'm going to ask Ms. Colburn, if she can, to step in and to take a roll on the motion.
Okay, certainly. Chair Pinto?
Aye.
Chair Kunesh?
Aye.
Lee Daniels?
No.
Senator Duckworth? Senator Duckworth? Representative Perez Vega?
Aye.
And Senator Wicklund?
Yes.
Okay. There are a majority of votes in the House, majority of votes in the Senate, and so the motion passes. Conference committee report is adopted. I'd invite members to sign the report, the physical copy, but just a reminder, you're going to get an email that you need to send back, and that actually ends up being the official signature, apparently. So any further comments? Chair Kunesh, anything further you wish to say?
Other than thank you, Chair Pinto, for bringing your passion and your experience to this committee. It's been a very great learning experience for me as a new chair in this area. And I think that those that have listened in and have come to us with their requests will be pleased with this conference committee report as we have it, because it is really important that we are addressing those earliest needs. I think we've all seen and understand the value of investing early in our youngest kids and getting them ready for school and getting them ready for the start of their educational career. And so with this, I think we're off to a really good start, and look forward to continuing to build on some of the things that we've done here, and most certainly our Metro Deaf and our hard of hearing kids, and making sure that all the children have an opportunity to really thrive in the best way possible. So thank you all for being here and being a part of this, and thank you so much to the staff.
Yes, a big thank you to the staff. You have been just amazing. We're so grateful. I signed the document here while this thing is going, and I invite Chair Kunesh to do so as well, and she can pass it down. It is merely ceremonial, but it's a good ceremony. Yeah, so the electronic signatures, I'm being reminded of the official ones, so make sure you do that. So that is happening while we are wrapping up here. Again, a big thank you to staff and to all for all of your work. And we can be really, really proud of getting all kids in Minnesota off to a great start, at least certainly being well on the way to doing that. So with that, the meeting is adjourned. Thank you all. We're going to pass that.